Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light, and the light, and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler with my co-host Tim Bench. From the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian. From the state of Texas, Courtney Carruthers. From the state of Illinois, Steve Corder. From the state of Florida, Patrick Medlock. From the state of Florida, Willie Williams III. From the state of Texas, Clay Phillips. From the state of Georgia. And ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you are tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loved and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. Wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina Studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my co-hosts on the show this evening as they break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will continue to bless them and their families that support their efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners who are tuning in through Blog Talk Radio and on social media, Facebook. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked. And as they listen, they will consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you will forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. For we know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Jesus Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening. Our speakers for the show this evening. In the first segment, my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. He serves as the evangelist for the Colonial Village Church of Christ in Chicago, Illinois. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And then in the second segment, I have a question from my shout-out platform on social media, Facebook. And my co-host, Clay Phillips, he serves as the evangelist for the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. He'll be answering our question. And then in the last segment to close out the show, my co-host, Willie Williams III, he serves as the evangelist for the North Colony Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. Enjoy the show.
There may be someone here without a ray of cheer. Your nights are filled with tears. It may have been that way for so many years. You're wondering what the answer. What can ease the pain?
Maybe someone who's listening to this right now that may be going through some trials and tribulations in your life. Your nights are filled with crying eyes, and it may have been that way for a very long time. But sometimes you're wondering what the answer is. Maybe you don't know whether to go left, to go right, to go forward or go backwards. But sometimes you just got to get on your knees, fall down, pray to Him. You just got to stand still and let God have His way. And watch Him work.
Watch God work.
Watch Him work.
Yes, Lord.
Watch Him make a way.
Watch Him make a way. And one of these days, God is going to answer your prayers, not on your time, but on His time. He is going to make a way for you. Let the church say amen and amen one more time.
Boom.
You'll see a brighter day.
Are you going through
storms in life?
And you just don't know how you're gonna fight your fight. Are you having some dark nights?
Oh.
So dark that you can't even see the light. See, I've been there. Trust me, I know.
Till soon.
Wondering if I'll make it to tomorrow. I don't wanna have to go through it again. So let me share what I did. Oh yeah.
What did you do?
See, I got down on my knees and prayed.
Yes, I did.
Leaving all my worries and all my
troubles.
So I moved. Let Him have His way.
Yes, Lord.
And then by faith I know I'll see a brighter day.
Just watch God work.
Watch Him work.
Watch Him make
watch
a way. Cause when you make it through your storm,
on the other side, I know you'll see a bright day. Oh, the Bible says your weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it's coming in the morning. Can I get a witness?
Brother,
be encouraged, my sister. it will be alright.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, and his subject, Please Pass the Salt.
Good evening, and again, want to thank you all, everyone, for attending, tuning in to our broadcast this evening. I want to give thanks to God for the mindset of our brother in Christ, Butler, for his commitment to making sure that the gospel of Jesus is presented to all those that are in need of hearing it. And we celebrate God for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way and allowing us this time we have together to share his word as it is symbolized as bread for those who are hungered and water for those who are thirsting after righteousness. And so we pray that our time together will be encouraging as well as informative and inspiring, so that we can keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I bring you greetings from the state of Illinois, city of Chicago, where I serve as the ministering evangelist for the Colonial Village Church of Christ. And we thank God for the privilege to say a few words today. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And the verse we'll be particularizing for discussion is verse 13. Matthew 5, and the verse is 13. Our Bible says these words in Matthew 5, 13. The Bible says these words. Matthew 5, and the verse is 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Before we begin, I want to give you a story in regards to the difficulties of staying focused in our purpose. And then we'll talk about please pass the salt. But in any case, when there are people of God who are committed to do what God asks of us, and that basically is to share the word, not only to our family, our friends, our coworkers, to live the light, to live the life of a Christian, to remain faithful in our mind, there will be difficulties that will divert our attention away from our commitment. There's a short story called Satan's Tactics. It is said that Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, "We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from conservative values, but we can do something else. We can keep them from forming an intimate, abiding experience in Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles and steal their time, but steal their time so they can't gain the experience in Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, angels. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. How shall we do this?" shouted his angels. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent unnumbered schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, then borrow, borrow, and borrow. Convince the wives to go to work and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days a week 10 to 12 hours a day so they can't afford their lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their family fragments, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette player whenever they drive, to keep the TV, the VCR, and the CDs going constantly in their homes. And see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays music consistently. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill their coffee table with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order, dialogue, catalogs, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offerings, free products, services, and false hopes. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, unprepared for the coming week to spending time with Jesus. I read this in relation to the fact that our world and our society and families are bombarded with misleading distractions. And it becomes our duty as children of God to be ever fervent and committed to spreading the word of God. But in order for us to have this will carried out, we ourselves must find value as to who we are. And this is the scope of Matthew 5:13. There, when we read Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." There have been times when people will sit at the dinner table, smell the food, and comment how good it looks. And without tasting the food, the first thing that they will say is, "Could you please pass the salt?" By asking for the salt before tasting the food had just upset the cook, because the cook has made sure that what has been prepared for eating had a taste of perfection. The textual thought of Matthew 5:13, however, is basically relative to influence, 1, importance, and 3, intrinsic value. The textual thought of Matthew 5:13 is about influence, importance, and intrinsic value. The reason for these thoughts is because Jesus was needing to show his disciples that they are called to make a difference in the lives of people, and that without salt, we will cease to exist. The story I read before is to show you that Satan is trying to take away the value of our relationship with God. Satan is trying to keep those from those who do have value in God from building their value by fulfilling them with ongoing misleading functions in life, misdirectional functions, to where it ruins relationship, ruin who we are as a character. And so the church must be animate and encouraged and enthused to being the salt that preserves the lives of people. When Jesus spoke in the mountain to a bunch of insignificant and unlearned men of Galilee, telling them, "You are the salt of the earth," he was saying that the world is rotten and rotting like rotten meat. Isn't this true today? The people of this world are wicked, so please pass the salt. They're sinful, so please pass the salt. They're against God, God's will, God's word, God's relation of God's expectation of humanity, so please pass the salt. There are people robbing, shooting, stealing, not fathers are not spending time with their children. We live in an untasteful atmosphere, an untasteful life. We live in an untasteful society because we as Christians must become salt and influence a different taste, a different purpose of living. And therefore, we find this to be so in Romans 1:18-21. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says these words. Romans 1, 18 to 21. Our Bible reads as thus, Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's an author by the name of Nash. He's written a book called Worldview and Conflict. And in this book called Worldview and Conflict, he says all of us have our own worldview. Not basically our own individualized worldview, but a worldview that has been transitioned to us from either families, schools, the circle of people we hang around with, and we see what they point out. Until we have a double loop knowledge or triple loop knowledge that says, I see more of what they're talking about, but I will now begin to add what I understand about my worldview. Well, God has never created us to have our own individualized worldview of how things ought to be. We live in a world where people have their own worldview about relationship, men, women sleeping with women, men with men, children and the respect to parents, parents and their relationship role with the children. Even in the church, people have worldview and not the word view. And so it is incumbent upon us who are knowledgeable of God's word to become not only disciple makers, but encouraging those who are disciples to stay attached to God, and that is through the word. And that comes through us being the salt of the earth, influencing individuals. In other words, not only Romans 1:18-21, but Galatians 5 says these words in relation to what I just mentioned. Galatians chapter 5 about worldview. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19-21, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm emphasizing the last thought because as influencers of God, preserving the lives of the Christian as salt, we are to encourage people to know that they cannot live the way they want to live and expect to go to heaven. We have to make changes, and thus that is the purpose of salt. So in light of that, the question then is, why pass the salt? Because salt functions as a preservative. It is an antiseptic which performs negative function of preventing spoiling meat from becoming even more rotten and corrupt. In tropical countries where there is no refrigeration, people rub salt into meat to keep it from going bad. In the same way, when Christians come in close in contact with sinful people of the world is kept from progressing further into unspeakable foulness. Christians benefit secular society. Without their presence, the world would degenerate at an even faster rate. So please pass the salt. In addition to all of this, we need to recognize how the textual thoughts are applied. The textual thought of Matthew 5:13 is as follows. Salt is influence. You are the salt. Influence dash you are the salt. In other words, there is no other spiritual source to change sinners into saints. But only those whom God has called. The statement that Jesus makes in 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, is to highlight their present potential and not their past potential. We know from studying the character backgrounds of these disciples before meeting Jesus that these men were unlettered fishermen, unlearned fishermen, small-town men with small-town talk, men with reputation or standing, members of a small, haughty, exclusive, hated race. For the moment, Jesus looks at his disciples, not as they were then, but what ideally they could become, and due to their society, he was trying to get them to see in themselves the ability to transform the moral tone of their age by calling them the salt of the earth. Now, we mentioned earlier that the purpose of salt is preserved, is a negative function that prevents things from spoiling or becoming more rotten and corrupt. One applicable idea we can get from this is the case of Geiger, the officer in Dallas. The most positive or trans thought is the brother of Botham John, when he asked the judge, "May I please give her a hug?" That is paradoxical. That is not sensible for someone whose brother's been killed to ask if he can give the murderer of the brother a hug. But there was something intrinsic in this young man. There was something valuable. There was a treasure of preserving life and hope, as he was given hope. And he realized that there's nothing he can do to bring his brother back, but he can do something to keep another person from becoming rotten and what they have done, so that they can also see Christ, and Christ therefore is glorified. Now, it doesn't make sense for anyone in the world mind view to hug someone who killed their brother, to hug someone who raped their wife, to hug someone who molested their daughter, to hug someone who stole from them and cheated them out of a job and cheated them because of their race. But when you have God's value, you want to pass that value on to someone else. God has not come to judge us so harshly, but he came to give us an avenue to change the world that judge us, to have the flavor of spiritual salt and not the flavor of Jesus, Satan, in their life. We say this in this sense, that he set before them the most positive, far-reaching program imaginable: preservation of the world from destruction. The world is not being destroyed because of the climate. The world is not going to be destroyed because of war only. But the easiest way Satan can destroy the world is to keep people from the word of God. Let's look at some scriptures here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Our Bible says these words. Matthew 4, verse 21. Jesus says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When people see the intrinsic value of spirituality in God's people, they will leave their worldview and follow the worldview that's coming out of us. Teaching someone and leading them to Christ is not only by mouth, but it's by our action and our attitude we have towards folk. A preacher friend of mine, all the time, would say, never look down on a man unless you're going to lift him up. Salt keep people alive. Salt keep people in harmony of becoming someone greater than just saying you live and then you die. No, we live, then we live on for eternity. Its second thought is the importance. Their importance. Their importance is of the earth. We are so important that we do not belong closed up in a shaker, a salt shaker, that is placed in a cabinet, but we belong on the earth to improve the conditions of people. But in order for this to happen, we must remember that salt poured on an open wound irritates at first, but given time, it increases healing. Therefore, if we are to be considered as dedicated disciples of God, we must remember that we are salt and not sugar. We are called to irritate first so that we can increase spiritual healing and value in people. Then lastly, three, intrinsic value. But if the salt has lost its savor, although we are in the world should not be in us. The ideal is simple. Salt placed on chicken does not taste only like chicken, but it has a heightened value of taste. When we are placed in the world of sin may not change, but how we relate to sin can change because we are change agents. I want to close with this thought, and that is, as a preacher, and preaching over many years, I come to realize that the ability to touch someone has to go beyond the pulpit. And sometimes God must take their preachers and put them in a holding pattern of understanding. I said a holding pattern of understanding how we preach, not so much how we exclaim or explain the word from the pulpit, but how we live it dramatically and hopefully give it to someone else who is in a hopeless situation, a despaired situation, a dark situation, because there are people who may not enter the doors of our church, but they will enter in when we lead them to the fountain of life, and that is Jesus. As a minister, I learned that you cannot reach people distant from being distant. You reach people when you go to where they are and say, look, a change is coming. Somebody out there need a change. They may not be able to leave the location, but they can leave the attitude about the location. So we need to change who they are. And the only way to do that is we as preachers must continue to support a program such as this. Reach out and touch somebody's life. Let them know God loves you. That's why he said, Jesus said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We keep people from perishing by giving them a salt of preservation that is ingredient by love, long-suffering, and understanding. Please pass the salt. May God bless you, and may he bless you real well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate would be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of their website, www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. And to apply, send a resume, a cover letter, and 3 professional references to the Deep River COC at triad.com. On October the 11th and the 12th, 2019, there'll be a formal debate hosted by the Daleville Church of Christ, and that address is Highway 277, AL 134, Daleville, Alabama 36322. The topics for discussion will be Jesus Christ's Second Coming. And the telephone number for more information is 334-598-2479. And the disputants for this discussion will be Holger Neubauer versus Bill Lockwood. And the date and times for these sessions will be on October the 11th at 6, from 6 to 9 p.m. And on October the 12th, there'll be 2 sessions, 1 to 4 p.m. and 6 to 9 p.m. On October the 11th and the 12th, 2019, there'll be a Greater Faith Conference held at the Highway 231 Church of Christ. And that address is 4331 Shelbyville Highway, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And for more information, please call 615 895 9998. And there'll be a variety of speakers on this program. On November the 9th through the 15th, 2019, there'll be a 47th annual homecoming held at the Northside Church of Christ. And that address is 4736 Avenue B, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. And for more information, please call 904-765-9830. And their website is www.nscocjack.com. And on Saturday, November the 9th, there'll be a gospel concert from 4 to 7 p.m. Stevie B's Media Production presents. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of the month, we're airing a special edition for the Gospel Light Radio Show. And that show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord Radio Show. And each week on that broadcast, we'll have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And we also have the Community Corner. That segment's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our community. And also my co-host Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be presenting lessons on the broadcast as well. And then on Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have seven co-hosts on this show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God each week. I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my social media platform on Shout It Out. And I'll be posing a question on the show to one of my co-hosts. And then on Friday night, each evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show, and I'll be playing the world's greatest acapella gospel music artist on this broadcast. We also have the Story Glory segment where we're interviewing the artist that we're playing on the show. We're also debuting new music featuring old music. We're also doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The next scheduled show will be on October. Actually, that show will be this Friday night. And then we're, once a quarter, we're doing the marathon show where we're featuring the artists for the entire show. And the next scheduled marathon show is on October the 25th, where we're featuring the group Durant from Nashville, Tennessee. Our on-demand episodes, you can listen to all of these on-demand episodes through our affiliate internet stations on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Apple iTunes, on ACARadio.net, on iWave Radio, on MCCBroadcasting.com, on IPCBroadcasting.com, on YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel and see Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You'll be able to see all of these on-demand episodes. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. You'll be able to see these on-demand episodes. I want to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors. We certainly appreciate all the sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo. Their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director of Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, C.J. Colson. She's with the Utherapy and Health Institute out of Monument, Colorado. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas, the owners Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And my sponsor, Cheryl Morrow. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. They've been serving Northern Haiti for 20-plus years, and they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourself. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.CompassionateHaitiLeader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Every thought I've had, And Lord, you know, every time I fall, still you come to my rescue when I call. And Lord, you hear every idle word, every thoughtless deed, how it seems absurd. That Lord, you give not what I am due, but mercy, you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. You come to my rescue.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, this is the segment of the broadcast. We have the shouted out question from my social media platform that I'll be posing to my co-host. And we also want to encourage our listeners to join that group on Facebook and get involved in those biblical discussions. Now, my co-host that'll be answering this question on the show this evening is my co-host Clay Phillips. He serves with the as an evangelist for the Rose City Church of Christ there in Thomasville, Georgia. How you doing, my brother?
Marvelous, my friend. Simply marvelous.
All right. Now, here is the question that we have for your consideration. Now, this question is from an anonymous querist from the state of Nevada, Las Vegas. And the query says, I have a friend who does not believe in God or the Bible. She says these things are made up to control us. Now, here's the question. What can I say to hopefully convince her that God is real? What say you to this question?
Good evening. I am Brother Clay Phillip, minister of the Rose City Church of Christ. Brother Steve, I believe that's a very, very good question that I think that we should answer with respect to the sovereignty of God. First of all, when you think about and trying to convince someone about the Word of God, number one, you can't go to the Bible up front to try to convince someone to believe the Bible. Number one, you got to go to the historicity of the Word of God. In other words, the Bible is alive. The Bible comes through generation after generation. So there are records, there are recorded records of events that have happened that are predicated in the Word of God. So what you have to do is you have to give an individual, what I normally do, and I'm going to do it as I do it. I'm talking to someone that don't believe that there is a God or don't believe in the Bible. First of all, I tell them why I choose to believe the Bible. I start out by telling them why Clay Phillips choose to believe the Bible. Now, you can believe anything you want to believe. That's on you, because we all go to stand before God at the judgment, or if there's not a God, we're just going to be poop. But now, suppose there is a God, which I believe that there is a God. So what I normally do, I tell individuals why I choose to believe the Bible. And you have to have some historicity when you talk about that. First of all, what I normally do, I tell individuals, it is a, why I believe the Bible. Now listen to me, write this down. There are five things I want you to write down, then it's going to lead us to the Bible. Okay? Now, first thing, I tell people why I believe the Bible. Number one, it is a reliable collection of historical documents. Number one, it is a reliable collection of historical documents. In other words, you can go to anywhere and find the Bible, the same events that happened in the Bible in history, in recorded records. So number one, why you believe the Bible, Brother Phillip? Number one, I choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable, write this down, it is a reliable collection of historical documents. Number two, because I have a lot to say, I'm trying to get there in a hurry. Number two, it was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. Number two, it was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. In other words, you can go anywhere in the world and you'll know, someone know about Noah's Ark. Whether the Bible or not, they don't even have the Bible. They know that there was a flood somewhere, that the earth was flooded. There are things that are in the Bible that are in history. And so what you have to do is go to history and help this individual understand that, number one, it is a reliable collection of historical documents. Number two, write this down. It was written by witnesses, eyewitnesses, during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. Number three, they reported supernatural events. In other words, it is written in history that there were some supernatural events that happened that they cannot explain in history. So, you know, I'm not even going to the Bible at this point. In history, there was a man born, a Jew, that did some phenomenal things that they cannot even explain to this day. Okay? Number four, that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecy. Now, in other words, what's your name, Brother Phil? I'm saying that when you study the Bible and you study the Word of God, or you study history, remember now, if you study history, when you look at the Bible in prophecy of Old Testament times, The Old Testament years before there was things that was fulfilled about Christ. In Genesis, now we go to the Bible and then see some things in the Bible. In Genesis 3:15, there was the seed of the woman. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, there we find the Bible says, but when the fullness of time will come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so here we find that when you look at the Bible in its historical setting, you will find that there was things that were said years ago, long time ago, that was our witness during the time that this Jew that is called Jesus lived, that was fulfilled in that time. So when you look at the history of it, the time of his birth, that was in the Old Testament. It was written before. It was written in history. You can study it in the book of history. History teaches that there was Abraham, there was Isaac, there was Jacob, there was Moses, Daniel. History teaches that. You don't have to have the Bible to receive history. And so the first thing you understand here, it gets folks to understand that even history says about the virgin birth, about Christ dying on the cross, or there shall be someone that died on the cross, that the bones of individuals shall not be broken. The Jews have this in their history. They are the ones that crucified Christ have in their history a man that, whether they agree with him or not, that they crucified, that they got rid of, they didn't like the Pharisees and Sadducees in the book, in the historicity of this earth, saying that there was a man named Jesus that did some phenomenal things. Not only that, in history, they claim that there was written or divine rather than human origin. So here we find that there was some miracles that happened that you don't even have to have a Bible to know that there is something else out here. You don't have to believe the Bible to know that there's something else. But if you believe something else, then you need to start studying and finding out the historicity of the stories that was told. And so if you go and read Josephus, and you start reading other historical writers, and then you start reading. So now, my question is, so I decided to read the Bible. Okay, let me read the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about the historicity of this person called Jesus, and the historicity of the gospel, the historicity of God. So let's see what the Bible has to say. Now, let me say this first. Let me say this first. That the word of God help us. Listen now. The word of God, the Bible, help us. Write this down or get the tape. The word of God help us to know well that godliness begin in a right knowledge of ourselves. In other words, godliness begin in the right knowledge of ourselves. First thing that I know and I believe about myself is that I didn't come from a monkey. Because they still haven't found the missing link. And the monkey's still here. So there's no evolution. So that you can prove, scientists still have not proven that man came from a monkey. They teach that in school, but man did not come from a monkey. We may look like monkeys, but we didn't come from a monkey. Now, I'm not going to get into the historical setting of why they chose that monkey thing or evolution to prove that man came from a monkey. We're not going to get into all that tonight. But what I'm going to show you is why I believe the Bible, the Word of God. So when you have a right understanding of who you are, number one, you didn't come from a monkey. You're too intelligent to believe that. In other words, for real, listen. It takes more faith for me to believe evolution, to believe I came from a monkey and became who I am now, and the monkey's still dumb. And the monkey's still climbing trees. If evolution took place, and how in the world we came from a monkey? So, now, what I want you to understand is that let's go to the Word of God. Now, I say, okay, now let me read the Bible. So, the historical writing says that there was a man, there was a Jesus Christ, there was a Christ, there was a crucifixion. It's in history that there was eyewitnesses. Now, Does the Bible teach the same thing that history teaches? So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. So does the Bible teach the same thing as the history teaches in history? Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, for we have not followed. Notice now Peter is saying, we have not followed. He said, notice what we have not followed. Cunningly devised fables. In other words, Peter is saying, listen, I had the Spirit of God in me, and I'm telling you, I'm not trying to fool you. I don't have time to be trying to fool you. I'm not trying to be cunning and device and use fable to show you that I believe in God. Now, in other words, he says, he's telling us whether you believe in God or not. That's on you. I got to believe in God. Because when you look at the historicity, there is no other explanation. There is no other explanation. So let me study the Bible and see what the Bible says. So he says, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Notice now, eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter saying, listen, I was an eyewitness. He said, if you read history, you'll know history said this. Now I'm telling you, I was an eyewitness of the history that was told about Jesus. Woo! Isn't that good? He said in verse number 17, for he received from God the Father honor to my Jesus Christ, to my man that he was an eyewitness of, when they came with a voice. Now he's telling about his experience. Came with a voice of him from the excellence of the glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Those are verse 18. And the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So here is Peter saying, let me tell you my eyewitness story. History says that there was a man named Jesus. He said, I am an eyewitness of that man named Jesus. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 17, let's go back to Matthew chapter 17, and let me read that because you need to see this. Matthew 17, Peter is talking about the event that happened in Matthew 17, 1 through verse number 13, but we're not going to have time to read all that. Let me read some of it. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, there Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring him up to a mountain apart. So now you remember now, in 2 Peter, Peter is telling you about some things he outwitnessed. Now, in history, said that these things happened. In verse 2, and was transfigured before him, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter. Peter said, I was there. Listen to me. He said, I was there. And said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, Peter said, this is me. I'm out of place, but I'm saying it. I'm there. Even though I'm making a mistake, but I'm there. If thou would, let us make it 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell to their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. So Peter said, I experienced that. I know that for myself. You don't have to believe me. I'm just telling you what I experienced. Now, remember, it is the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is number 18. Now, verse 19, rather. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light. He said, listen to me. Peter said, you listen to me. He said, I'm an eyewitness, and you'll do well to listen to me. That light shineth in darkness, and shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arising your heart. He said, Peter said, listen, you don't have to believe me. There's something deep down in your heart that tell you that there is a God. God put some in us. Peter said, whether you believe the Bible or not, you know that there is a God. There's something greater than us. Peter said, listen to me. He said, there's something greater than us. There's something deep down in my heart. And that's why we sing the song, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. Why? Because it's in my heart. God put something inside of us to know, let us know that there is a God, that there's something greater than us. Verse 20 of 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Peter said, let's get one thing straight. Know this first. This is not, I don't have time for this. I'm not trying to make this up. This is no private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not of old time. In other words, he said, if you go back to the Old Testament, in the old time, by the will of man, didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's something inside of our heart. Not this heart that pumps blood, but there's something inside of us. God created man in his own image, and man became a living soul. There's something inside of you, man, that's telling you that there is a God. Do you think you do? Okay. Let me clarify. Let's turn to Luke chapter. Luke chapter one. And verse number. I'm gonna read verse 1 through verse 4. Whereas much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order to declaration that means a narrative. In other words, he said, listen, we took the time to write this out of these things which are most surely believed amongst us. He said we wrote down what was most surely believed amongst us. We didn't have time to be fooling around. We wrote down what was surely most believed amongst us. Verse 2 says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He said, eyewitnesses. Luke said, eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seems good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you these things in order most excellent Theophilus. He said, listen, it's good to me. I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm telling you this happened in our lives. That's why I believe the Bible. That's why I believe the Word of God. It is a reliable collection of historical document. It was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of eyewitnesses. Notice in verse 4 of Luke chapter 1, it says, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. In other words, I don't want you to be guessing about the Word of God. You know, I want you to know the Word of God. There is something on the inside of you when you hear the Word of God, when you read the Word of God. There is no book that is as honest and as clear as the Bible. There is no book as honest and as clear as the Word of God. There is no book that tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It don't exclude David's life of sin. It says David had adultery with a woman and David killed that man. Now, if I was writing my book of my life, my biography, okay, you know, if you were writing the book of your biography, you know, you wouldn't put all that in there. But the Bible is so plain and so clear. Notice now, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you receive, and which wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. He said, For I deliver unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. In other words, according to the Old Testament, it says that a man was going to die. You remember in Isaiah chapter 3, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Before he said, grow and form as a tender plant and as a root out of a ground, it had no form nor comeliness. And we said, that's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, in the history riches of the Bible. Not only is it in the Old Testament, it's in historical writing. Josephus and other historical writing put it down. And they didn't believe in God. When am I believing in God? Am I putting down what was true? Notice in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day according to the scripture. The Old Testament said that was going to happen. Now, notice not our witnesses here. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So we got Cephas the 12, verse 16 said, verse 6 says, after that he was seen of about 500 brethren. Look at these eyewitnesses. He was seen by 500 brethren at once. They told everybody. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why people would still believe in the Word of God, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are falling asleep. Notice verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born after due season. So here he says, listen, he said, I came later on. Paul said, I came later on. In verse 9, it says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, listen to the eyewitnesses. Listen to the eyewitnesses, if you will. Listen to them. Now, let me ask you a question. So, I hear people say, well, man wrote the Bible. Man wrote the Bible. Really? What book we have that man did not write? So, man wrote the Bible. So, are you telling me whatever man write, you cannot believe? So are you telling me because man wrote it, you can't believe? Then why are you believing all the other books? If you can't believe the Bible, why are you believing all the other books? Man wrote the Bible. Really? Really? Man wrote the Bible. You think? Yes, man wrote the Bible. Okay, let me ask you another question. Do you believe yourself? Do you believe yourself? What you saying, Brother Philip? Because you're a man. The person that asks you, and there are people asking me all the time, Brother Philip, man wrote the Bible. I say, okay, are you a man? Yes. Do you believe yourself? Okay, do you believe yourself? You know you can tell a lie. You know you can tell the truth. So, are you saying that everything that man write is a lie? I don't think so. Now, yes, man wrote some lies that became more money. I believe that. Man wrote a lie. Because the whole historicity of the reason why man wanted us to come from the eight is because of racism. Because of racism. When you study that, you go back and study the history of that. Now, there are two things I want to drop in your lap right quick, like before I leave. Romans 1, God has given man, notice now, God have given man knowledge of his character and his will. Now write this down. Romans 1, God have given man, given us a knowledge of his character and his will. Romans 2. The word of God is of necessity. It's a must. Now let's go back to Proverbs. I'm going to turn to Proverbs. I've got about 3 minutes here, according to my clock here, about 5 minutes here. Proverbs chapter 30. And the verse is number 5 and 6. Proverbs 35 and 6. Every word of God is pure. So now, the reason why I choose to believe the Bible, because there is nothing that is not pure in the Word of God. Nothing that is not pure. Nothing that have not been proven. That's what it's talking about here. There's nothing that have not been tried, tested. It's pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6 says, add thou not unto these words, lest he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar. That's why I believe the word of God. That's why I'm going to continue to believe the word of God. Although God is so great and incomprehensible in his nature, God said, listen, he said, I want you to know me. I'm going to give you my character. I'm going to give you my will. I want you to know me. Listen to me. If a man build a vessel, a ship, which he intends to send his son to navigate, he's going to put a compass in there. And God said, listen, the compass that I've given you, the compass that I've given you is the word of God. The Bible is our compass. It is the word of God. Man build ships, and they have put compass on it. If God, you mean to tell me God built his whole world and did not give us a compass? Did not give us something to go by? Do you really believe that his world just jumped, the gravity just automatically come down? That we just automatically born? That we just automatically have feeling? That we automatically see? That all this come from nothing? That this just popped up? There was a big bang somewhere? Have you lost your entire mind? The intelligence of God should overwhelm us. Should overwhelm us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 7 and the verses number 6, if you will. The Bible says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. He said, listen, God, if man not going to do this, God said, I'm not going to give you all of this. And not give you a compass, not give you my character and my will and my knowledge. In verse number 8, it says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he to him that knocketh, receiveth. Or what man is there of you whom is, notice now, if his son and bread will not give him a stone? God said, I'm not going to give you this world and just give you and not give you a well understanding of the knowledge of my understanding, that you may understand who I am. Or if what son did you give him a fish, and then as for a fish, you give him a snake. Verse 11. If ye then, I gotta stop. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gift unto him that ask. God hath given us a good gift. The Bible, the word of God, God hath given us a good gift, the word of God. And what God, what person, if you got enough sense not to give your children such things, God have enough sense not to do it always. And the Bible says in John 3, verse 13 to 17, write that down. No man can ascend into heaven. So God has sent Jesus down on this earth. The word of God is of necessity. You must have it. Out of it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. In other words, God speak to us out of the abundance of the heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God has turned to time and died. This man has spoken time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Have in the last days spoken to us by his son. God is still speaking to us. Even the sun and the moon and the stars let us know that there is a God. That's what you tell them. Listen, you tell them the historicity. You start with history. All of this is in history. Then you bring them to the Bible. That is a good resource, a collection, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses. During the lifetime of witnesses, they reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of the sacred prophecy, and they claimed that their word was divine, and it was the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the breath of God. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Phillips. Remember this. Keep it real.
Hey, Brother Clay.
Yes, sir.
Brother Clay. Now, it's funny that you would. It's funny that you elaborated on evolution dealing with man coming from a monkey. Now, my daughter's 12 years old, and in our Bible study on last night, that's exactly what we was talking about, man coming from a monkey. So that's what, you made some great points. You made some great points in that lesson. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the Gospel Light Radio Show. After the break, we'll have a message from my co-host, Willie Williams III. Stay tuned.
I say in my dying hour, I don't want nobody to cry, Lord. All I want you to do for me is just to close my dying eyes. Please don't worry.
Don't worry about me.
You don't worry.
Don't worry. Don't worry about me,
'cause I'm
bound to pay the debt I owe.
Yes, I am
bound to pay the debt I owe.
And I say it's in my dying hour, I don't want nobody to moan. No,
you don't have to moan.
All I really want you to do for me, just to give that bell a tone, and then
don't worry about me,
'cause I'm
bound to pay the debt I owe.
Oh, yes, I am
bound to pay the debt I owe.
And I say it's in my dying hour, I don't want nobody sad, no. All I want you to do for me, think about the time we had, think about the good times.
Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. The Bible says that God was watching Abraham, and God proposed in Genesis chapter 12. God proposed a promise to him. Abraham was introduced to God, having no evidence, seeing no miracles, not having the world shift. There was no earthquakes. There was no Red Sea opening. There was no lightning from heaven. Nothing came up from the dead, and nothing came down from the sky. The only thing that happened in Genesis chapter 12 is a man is having a conversation with God. And as Abraham is sitting there, he's having this conversation, and God makes promises. He does not reveal his hand. He does not show him the future. He does not show him the past. He does not try to wow him or awe him. The only thing that happens in Genesis chapter 12 is that God is just having a conversation with a man, and he starts to make promises. And when he makes these promises with Abraham, he concludes his promise and all the things that he's going to do, and then he watches Abraham. And when he watches Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham, he moved. In Genesis chapter 12, after God made the promises, him and Sarah, they get together and they move out of their father's house, which was in order to receive the promise from God in Genesis chapter 12. They could not stay where they were. They had to move. Now, here's the thing. According to the promise of God, he was not going to reveal every destination and every address and every spot along the way. So that means that they were going to move, having to trust in a word, but seeing no person. It wasn't that God was going to send down an angel, and that angel, unlike Moses, the Bible says with Moses and the children of Israelites, there was a great cloud that led them. Abraham was not going to have a cloud. Abraham was not going to have an angel. All the only thing that Abraham was going to have was a word. And when he received the word from God, he moved. When he heard God, he had to move. He couldn't stay where he was. If he stayed where he was not going to receive the promise. Matter of fact, a question you may ask is, Abraham, why are you going to move when you don't have a receipt? Abraham will let you know, but I have a word. And based upon that word, he moved. He didn't just move. He moved his whole family. And they began to walk. There are no cars. There are no chariots. Abraham did not have an entourage where they carried him wherever he went. He started walking. And when he started walking, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God. See, I know that you believe, as James says, not by what you say. In the book of James, he says, I know that you believe by what you do. He says, you say that you believe, but in James chapter 3, you say that you believe, but the devils also believe. He said, but you know my faith by my actions. See, we know that Abraham believed because he moved. The Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, when God looked at him and how he moved. See, this is different, unlike Thomas. I believe it's in the New Testament, in the Gospel, when the Lord returned. And when the Lord returned, Thomas says, listen, I won't believe until I see his hands and I see his feet and I put my hand in his side. And unless I see the physical evidence, I won't believe. Jesus tells Thomas, he says 8 days later, he says, show up and touch my hands and touch my side. He says, now believe. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Abraham was like that. Abraham was greater than Thomas because Thomas had to touch. But Abraham, he just needed a conversation. And he moved. See, you say that you're a believer in God. But when you hear the preaching of the word, you don't move. No, don't get me wrong. Like you say amen. You say amen. And you shout or you nod your head. A tear may even come out of your eye. You may tap your chest. you don't move. See, when a person believes, they can't stay where they are. They have to move. The Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word righteousness means to be right with God, which means when God saw that Abraham moved on his word, he says, he's right with me. Don't get it wrong. It's not that Abraham was perfect. It's not that he did everything right. Matter of fact, if you read his history, you can call him a liar. And yes, because he did lie. You can call him somebody who did not fight for his marriage. He slept with another woman just by the persuasion of his wife and got her pregnant and had a child. And that was not of promise. But it wasn't that he was flawless. See, to be right with God is, do you believe him? See, when the word of God says stop, do you stop? And when the word of God says stand, do you stand? When the word of God says believe, do you believe? But I could tell your belief not by how you say amen. I know that you believe because you move. The Bible says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, he preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, and in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faith for Abraham. God looked at Abraham and decided to preach the gospel to Abraham because he says he's a believer. And so what, before Jesus built the church, God had it in his infinite mind and wisdom that I'm going to base salvation and the whole church on how Abraham responded to my preaching. So he took that moment that he had with Abraham and he weaved it into the church and wherein we stand. And through the gospel, he says, you can be saved if you can move like Abraham. Matter of fact, if you move like Abraham, you will be the seed of Abraham, and you will be the children of promise, and you can get the inheritance, just like Abraham. I didn't plan on keeping you long, but what I want to plant in your seed, the Bible says that those who know to do good and don't do it, to them it is sin. How many of you know you need to eat better? And you know you need to clean up your house. And you know you need to stop cussing, clean up your speech. How many of you know you need to clean up your life? And you go to worship week in and week out, and you hear the word, but you don't move. God looks at you, but he don't call you righteous because you're stuck. You know who the Lord is looking for? Matter of fact, Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 7. I have not found so great a faith. You cannot find something unless you're looking for it, which lets me know Jesus was looking for it. I'm looking for people who don't need a pep rally to do right. I'm looking for people who don't need a huge support system just to get up and do what they already know they need to do. So as you understand my voice right now, anything that you know you've been delaying, get up right now and do it. Stop wasting time. God is watching you. He wants to call you righteous. But you're stuck. God bless you.
Oh, yeah. I'll go. I'm feeling blue, oh, but
Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. For those who have been following this radio show on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live, I want to thank my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, for his lesson, Please Pass the Salt. Courtney did a great job tonight on the broadcast. Also, my co-host, Willie Williams III, for his lesson, By Faith. Certainly appreciate all the efforts from my co-hosts who are presenting lessons on this show from week in and week out. They're doing a phenomenal job. I also want to thank my co-host Clay Phillips for answering that question, that shout out question we had from the choirs from Las Vegas, Nevada. They wanted some advice on what they could say to convince their friend that God is real. And Brother Clay gave a very extensive answer. Certainly appreciate his efforts on the broadcast tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our prayer that the lessons that was given on this radio show have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning in to this radio show, but because you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show, good night, everybody. God bless you.
Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure. From the fall.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, episode 162.
I'm gonna keep on climbing this mountain till I reach high and proud.
Anybody out there,
the storm blow,
having trials and
tribulation,
just want to encourage you,
keep moving on,
I need somebody who's been through something, help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, hard times in my life,
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes,
know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the dreads that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They will last for long.
They
will last.
They only make them
strong. So they gotta keep on.
Moving on, till I get home.
Till I make it on home.
Gotta keep moving.